Good morning, Outlook family. Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. If you've not been around, I've been gone for the last 8 weeks on sabbatical, and it has been a refreshing time. I'm so grateful that the elders give the ministers this gift every 5 years of a sabbatical. Tamara and I visited 17 different churches while we were away on those 8 weeks. That was its own adventure. But let me tell you, it's good to be back at Outlook. I love you all, and there is no place like home. Let me tell you, it's the truth. And so it's so good to be with you this morning. A couple things I want to point out before we pray and jump in to our sermon today. First, I didn't get a chance to say hi to her before church, but it's Karenita Wulsifer in the auditorium. There she is. Karenita and her husband Jim have been our missionaries to Italy for many, many years now, and she's home for a few weeks here. There, yeah, let's give it up for Karenita and Jim, who's still back in Italy. We love you guys so much, and are so glad you're here. And that's an honor. It's an honor to have you among us. Our missionaries are some of our heroes. Amen. And we're just so glad that you're here. I also have a piece of family news that I'm sorry to share. If you know Bill and Bonnie Reynolds, then you know that Bill has been fighting cancer for some time now, and he is now home with the Lord. I did get the chance to see Bill just a few hours before he passed, and they've gone through quite a journey. And so I would ask that you keep them in your prayers. If you know Bill and you'd like to pay your respects and visit the family, there will be visitation at Seals Funeral Home in Fortville this upcoming Saturday from noon to 4 with a celebration of life service at 4. And what I'd like to do right now is pray for them and for our time here together this morning and other things that are probably on our minds as we prepare our hearts before we open up God's Word. So would you pray with me? Father, we take this moment here as we are in this sacred space that's been created as your people have gathered. And wow, Lord, what a blessing it is to worship you as we've been led here in these last few minutes. And we do believe those words we sang, Lord, that you've forgiven us, that you've cleansed us, and that you're with us no matter what. And we know, God, that you're with us right now. Lord, we lift up the Reynolds family and all of their extended family, such a wonderful and large family there. But we especially ask, God, that you'd be with our sister Bonnie, who has lost her life partner of so many decades, that you'd be with her and give her a special measure of your comfort and your peace, and help us, Lord, to be a good church family to her in the days ahead. Lord, we also pray for our friends in El Paso as they are dealing with, and as really we as a whole nation are dealing with what's transpired there. Lord, our heart breaks. It seems like, Lord, our heart breaks a little bit every week with some new headline or some piece of tragic news. And we can only imagine how much your heart breaks. And so we ask, God, you just help us to be your people in a dark time. And we certainly lift El Paso up to you. Lord, we also ask, God, that right now, as we begin to open up your word, that something miraculous would happen, that something amazing would take place. We would hear from you. Lord, you know my prayer. My prayer is that it's not me, it's only you. It's just you. It's all you, Lord, this morning. And I pray that these words that you've given me will be food for all of us as we open up these holy scriptures. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for praying with me. I have to say that there is an invention that seems pretty normal, pretty no big deal, but I am so glad someone decided that it should exist. And that's that little chime that comes when you're almost out of gas. Is anyone really glad that there's this way now that our cars can warn us, hey, you might want to stop and get some gas? It happens to me far too frequently that I'm just kind of go, what's the next thing? And then I never look at the fuel gauge, and then thank goodness it tells me when it's time to stop. I remember this time when I was in high school, I needed to pick up my younger brother who was at a friend's house late, and my parents said, hey, he can't drive yet, so we're going to be in bed. You go get him when it comes time. I'm like, okay, fine. I guess that's the price you pay, right, when you're the older brother and you've got your license. So I get this call. It's already late, and he wants picked up. I go pick him up. We're coming back, and guess what? I run out of gas. I think it's the only time in my life I have actually run out of gas, but I've come really close at times. We had to push the truck quite a ways to the next gas station, and there was even kind of an uphill climb there for a while, and it was summertime. I decided that I didn't need to even wear shoes because I was just going to go. So I was barefoot pushing the truck. It's just an idiot, right? You're just a kid. And I remember my brother wasn't too happy with me, kind of a, and I said, well, hey, snot nose, you know, when you get your license, then all this will be solved. So just keep pushing. I'm going to steer. And I don't know why he was so upset about that, but man, running out of gas is a drag. Now he's, you know, got three girls, and he's been an elder in his church and all this. You know, it's hard to believe how fast time goes, right? I'm glad that we have things in our cars that tell us when it's time to get some gas. Running out of gas is no fun. And we're going to look this morning at a parable of Jesus that reminds us that we don't want to run low on that which is most important, and that life is best lived when our hearts are full. Life is best lived when our hearts are full. If you grabbed a Bible from the Bible carts this morning, we're going to be in Matthew 25. That's page 677 if you grab those Bibles from the cart, or you can pull it up on an app on your phone, and we'll also have the scriptures on the slides. Now, we're in a series this summer. I got to kick it off at the beginning of June, and then we've had eight tremendous weeks of preaching, have we not? Man, I've been able to watch them all online. I am so thankful, not only for Mark and for David, our guest preachers, but for Josh and for Mike as they delivered the word, and Kate Mangano. Oh my gosh, she was awesome, our newest minister here on staff. So impressed. I can tell you, if my first sermons that I ever preached on a Sunday morning had been half as good as what we heard from Kate those two Sunday mornings, I you have a lot better preacher today. But she did a tremendous job, and I'm so grateful for all of them. What a great summer it was. Can we just give it up for everyone? It was. What a blessing. What a deep bench of godly talent that we have here, and it's just so, I'm so blessed. So, we are continuing this series on the parables, and this morning we're going to look at the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Let's give this a little context here. In this portion of Scripture, Jesus is talking about what it's going to be like at the end of time, kind of the final judgment. And he's giving us, he paints various pictures in this section of Scripture about what that's going to look like, and this is one of them. We're actually going to look at another one of them next week. So in essentially he's saying, let me tell you a story that illustrates what this whole thing is about, what this whole kingdom of God thing is about, what life is really all about in this very short but very powerful story. So it begins like this. And so let's open our Bibles. Let's take a look. Verse 1, chapter 25. At that time, he says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10. Now, your Bibles might be like mine, and it says 10 virgins. We're going to use the word bridesmaids, as other translations do, because that actually makes the point much more clear as to what's happening in this story. Virgins sharpens the point unnecessarily, when really what it means is young, unmarried women who are serving as bridesmaids in a wedding, which is the setting of what Jesus is talking about. So he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, what's happening here? Little background on Jewish traditional weddings. What you would have is the bridesmaids were responsible for preparing the bride to meet the bridegroom. There were lots of partying. Weddings took several days, but then there would be this night in which the bridesmaids all have these torches, and they're waiting on the bridegroom, and then they escort at night this procession. It's like a parade, escorting the bride to the bridegroom. And these lamps were torches that consisted of a long pole with oil-soaked cloths at the end. And so brightly burning, and you can just imagine kind of the spectacle of that. And that was their job at this moment. Everyone listening would have immediately understood what Jesus was saying. Now in verse 2, then it says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil in the jars along with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So Jesus is immediately setting, we're at a wedding, we're preparing for a wedding, 10 bridesmaids, five are foolish, five are wise. What defines the wise is they got plenty of oil. They're prepared for whatever might happen. Now, in this parable, we are the bridesmaid. We are the bridesmaid. The lamp is our heart, and the oil is God's Spirit. That's all over the place in the Scriptures, that oil is a representation of the Spirit of God, you know, being full of the Spirit, being anointed, sometimes the Bible refers to, by the Spirit. So in this parable, you and I are the bridesmaids. Will we be wise or will we be foolish? The lamps are our heart, our soul, who we are, what's happening in us, and the oil is the Holy Spirit. So I would invite you to use your imagination with me this morning. There are hundreds of lamps in this room. Each of us have a lamp. Each of us are burning that lamp. But how brightly will be the question that we want to wrestle with, and how much oil did we carry in with us this morning? How much oil do we want to carry out? How much Holy Spirit, how much connection with Christ, how much openness are we willing to have in our relationship with God? Because He is always ready to fill whatever we bring open to Him. Amen? So we are wise. What we'll see here is we are wise to proactively keep our hearts full of the Spirit. That is the lesson of today. We are wise, you and I, to proactively keep our lives and our hearts full of the Spirit. So let's talk very frankly about what fills our hearts and how that happens. What keeps us full and be the wise servant or the wise bridesmaid here. Now, Josh did a wonderful job last Sunday of reminding us of some super core truths. We need God's Word daily in our lives, don't we? Nothing replaces time hearing, reading, memorizing, internalizing, chewing on, meditating on the Word of God. Nothing can replace that. I have found over the years that simply getting God's Word into me and getting me into God's Word, getting myself there, getting my nose in that, letting it fill my head or my ears or however I want to receive it, carves a place in me where God's Spirit can then fill, right? Carves away stuff that doesn't need to be there, focuses me in ways I wouldn't be focused if I didn't spend some time with Him and His Word, and I get filled. And I know all of you have experienced that too. In that Word, we also naturally turn to God in prayer. We share our hearts with Him, and we begin to sense that filling. In addition to that, we need encouragement, don't we? And Josh reminded us last week, get to church, right? It's just that simple. Nothing replaces gathering with God's people in rows, like we are here on Sunday morning, which is its own great experience, and in circles as we gather in groups. Nothing replaces the encouragement and the sharpening and the help that we receive, the example that we can set and watch in our brothers and sisters. Nothing replaces that encouragement. Nothing replaces time in the Word. Nothing replaces prayer. These things fill our hearts. We become bridesmaids with plenty of oil. We become servants of God, prepared for whatever it is He's called us to do. We are not neglecting our relationship with Him. We're not neglecting what we're supposed to be about. Instead, we're paying attention, and we want to be full of that which is going to be the most sweet and most valuable and most precious and beautiful and lovely thing for us, and that is God's Holy Spirit. Because we'll be full of something. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're full of something. Right? Right? We are all going to be full of something. The question is, what is it going to be? Will it be the Word or will it be the world? Will it be prayer or is it just going to be gossip or complaining? Will it be cynicism or encouragement? Will we believe the best in others or will we start to cut them down or think poorly of them or tell others? Will we fall into that super easy trap? Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what are we full of and what's coming out of us? That's how we're burning. That's how that torch is glowing, and we get to choose. These five foolish bridesmaids had a choice of how much oil to bring to keep those lamps burning. They made a poor choice. We get to choose as well. We get to choose as well. Let's go to verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, I like this because there are other places in scriptures where we're not supposed to fall asleep, right? Stay alert, some stories will remind us. And being spiritually asleep is never a good thing. But Jesus is, in this story, allowing for the fact that it happens to all of us, doesn't it? The wise ones fell asleep just as the foolish ones fell asleep. That we all go through times in which we get spiritually drowsy, don't we? Is it just me? Right, okay, I bet it happens to you too. Right. Good, I'm glad it's not just me. We all go through times in which we lose some focus or we get tired. That's going to happen to anyone. But we have to, we want that to not happen. And the question that this parable poses is, when it does happen, how have we prepared and how will we recover? Because there's going to come a moment. Maybe for you that moment will be today in which we need to wake up. Maybe you've been snoozing spiritually for a while. Maybe you've been on cruise control. Maybe you got a lot of stuff going on in your life, a lot of fire like we sang about and Josh encouraged us about. Maybe you've had some stuff like that going on and you've kind of checked out a bit. You've put some distance between you and God. You haven't been paying attention to the oil or the torch or how things are going in you. And if you were honest, you'd say, I've been cruising here. I'm kind of spiritually asleep. But there'll come a moment. I'm praying maybe even for some of us, the moment will be today in which we need to wake up. In verse 6, it says, at midnight, a cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. So now is the time. You had one job, bridesmaids, and here it is. The bridegroom is here. Wake up. See, now the best parables, the best stories, Jesus tells the best parables. So in Jesus' parables, we can do this. And I think it's happening here. There are both broad lessons and specific lessons. Broadly speaking, Jesus is telling us about how the kingdom of God works and what it will be like as we all reach the final judgment, so to speak, when all this is wrapped up and what's going to matter and what's going to count? How are we going to be evaluated? He's using this as an example. But I also think there are plenty of wake-up moments throughout our earthly lives. I also think we're all going to face a moment in which we move from earth to eternity. And so the lessons here apply in all kinds of ways. They apply to my life right now today. Man, how much oil do I have? Am I really making it the focus of my life to be full of God's Spirit? As best as I know how, in getting in the Word and in coming to church and in just focusing on my relationship with Christ, or am I ignoring that and am I running low? Am I running low? This cry rings out. A call goes out to us. Sometimes in your life it might mean a challenge arises. Something's in front of you and it's going to be a wake-up moment. How much oil do you got? Are you going to be able to get through this? Do you have enough? Have you been focusing and fostering that relationship with God day to day so that when the challenge comes, you're like, God and I, we got this. Jesus and me, we're working through this. I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm focused on Him. Sometimes an opportunity knocks. It's time to wake up. You realize, am I prepared for this opportunity? This thing that God's been putting in my heart, now I'm getting the chance to maybe do something with it. Am I ready? Am I full? Is my tank full? Am I full of the Spirit? Verse 7, it goes on, then all the bridesmaids woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. Now, to trim a lamp meant that at that point you're trimming the excess, kind of the parts that are charred off of the claws. You add some more oil. You get the whole thing kind of freshened up. And the foolish bridesmaids realize they're in trouble. There's not enough oil. They're running low. They're running out. They're literally burning out, flaming out, fading out. The moment has come to be with the bridegroom, to do the thing they've been called to do, to live the life, to step into the moment, and they're looking around and they're going, I need some more oil. Now, unlike the parable, we have a source of endless oil, don't we? This is not a pop quiz that will leave us failing if we just make a good turn, a good decision. We can turn to God. We can make that choice. We can fill ourselves even today with His Spirit. He is happy to see that happen. But you might be here today, just as I said, maybe spiritually sleeping is a good description of it. Maybe right now you look around and you realize you could pick up some jars and they're a little dry, right? Like there's just not a lot going on in there. I've got no oil. We've all been there. I've got no oil. I'm doing some things I shouldn't be doing and I know it. My oil is low. I haven't been really focusing on filling myself with God's Spirit. I'm watching things I shouldn't watch. I'm touching people I shouldn't touch. I'm going places that are no good for me. I got no oil. If I were to be honest before God, I would say that my tank's low. He knows it. And I've been trying to ignore it. But I need some oil. Oil is a great picture for God's Spirit. That's why God chose it. Oil keeps things running. Oil was a cleansing agent. Oil was a purifier. Oil was a refresher. We need all of that, and that God's Spirit provides us that and so much more. We need to move from the natural to the supernatural. When we're just living in the natural, whether or not we're full of the oil of the Holy Spirit won't matter too much to us. We're just doing life on our own terms, under our own steam, figuring out it in our own strength. But we're also getting the results that come from that. Sometimes we might get a few things right, but a lot of times we're frustrated or we're hurting ourselves or we're hurting others and we realize this isn't working. This is futile. I need some oil. These bridesmaids had one task, but at the moment of truth, their hearts, it showed that their hearts just weren't in it. Think of the wise bridesmaids who had plenty of oil. Their hearts were in that task. They knew what they needed to do. But the foolish bridesmaids, man, their hearts just weren't in it. They really weren't thinking ahead because you have to wonder, did they really care in the end? I think if there's one way that I would try to summarize what I feel like the Lord is wanting to share with us this morning, it would be this. Let's be wholehearted and not half-hearted in our following of Jesus. For some of us, maybe there's hardly been a thing in our lives we've actually been wholehearted about. Some of us have so divided and separated all the little components of our lives that we don't even know what it's like to give our whole selves to one thing and then let everything else flow from that. We're a little bit religious over here. We make it to church every now and then, but that, we never think about how that touches our marriages or our finances, or our jobs and how we perform at work, or our parent. We just take each of these things separately. We don't experience what it means to be wholehearted, maybe even about anything, not even the Lord. I would encourage us to consider strongly what it would be like if you forgot everything else for a second and just said, Lord, I want to give you my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole life, every piece of me. I want to give it to you. All the thoughts in my head, all the things that I do, all the worries that are on my mind, all the responsibilities that I have, I want to give them to you. And I want to then go back to them in the strength, in the power, in your Holy Spirit, with all the wisdom and peace and insight that that brings. And then I'm going to pick up my marriage, or I'm going to pick up my parenting, I'm going to pick up my finances, and I'm going to go back to those things, but through the filter, through the lens, through the power of your Spirit. Because I want to be wholehearted for you, full of your oil, so to speak, burning brightly in your name for your cause. That's who I want to be. That means we have to pay attention to what's filling our hearts and what's draining them. What's draining them? Things drain our hearts. It's good to identify what drains your heart and then mitigate against that, man. Help yourself to not live in those things, to be with those people or to consume that content or whatever it might be that drains you, because our tank will get empty. Anyone in here know that you leak? Right? We all leak. We need constantly filled. Our flame can grow dim. And I'm praying that if that's you this morning, or maybe you just know you're not full, you know, you're doing all right, but fullness, man, wholeheartedness, it's been a while. It's been a while. And you'd like to get back to that. I'm reminded of something Jesus said in Matthew 24. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. You can look this up. It's Matthew 24, 12 and 13. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Anyone feel like there's a dial on wickedness in our world today and someone is just turning it up and up and up? And that we're not alone in that, or we're not even free from that. Sometimes it can feel like that dial is on us and someone is turning it up. Don't let your love grow cold. Jesus says that's going to happen. It can happen. But if you will stand firm, if you will stay full, he says good things for eternity are heading your way. The love of most will grow cold. Let's go back to the parable and see what happens next. The foolish bridesmaids have turned to the wise ones and said, hey, can we borrow some oil? But these wise bridesmaids are being honest. They say, no, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. So this is your responsibility. No one can do it for you. See, these torches, as I was studying this, required significant quantities of oil to keep burning. They had to be replenished about every 15 minutes. Kind of like life, right? How drained can you get in just 15 minutes? I know that there are some moments where 15 minutes can drain us almost completely. And so what do we learn from what the wise bridesmaids are saying? They're saying, hey, you can see by my light, but you got to get your own oil. You got to go to the source. Now, like I said earlier, for us, this isn't we got to go to a store and buy some oil. We have to realize this is a metaphor. When we come to church, when we open God's Word, when we get in small group together, we are going to the source. We're coming back and saying, I need refilled. I'm 3/4, I want to be full. I'm 1/4, I want to be full. Whatever it looks like. But that's what these wise bridesmaids are saying. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to seek God for yourself. And that is the signal sign of spiritual maturity. We know we're starting to spiritually mature when we begin to hunger for and seek God for ourselves. Is that true? And that's our goal for all of us. That's our goal for all of us. Do not let religion or some notion of spirituality be your source. Don't let church attendance saying, well, I show up just often enough and I got baptized way back when, I'm good. That doesn't seem to be the lesson of this parable. There's something more going on. And to live life wisely is to stay full. And that, we're seeing, seems to be up to us. Our mission here at Outlook, I certainly consider it my life mission, is to develop disciples of Jesus. And if I'm hearing Jesus, our rabbi, teach through this parable, this lesson, what is he saying? He's saying to me as a disciple of Jesus, Rob, stay full of my spirit. And it's not hard to do. It's not some tough thing to navigate. It's right there. I want to just take a second and talk about our next sermon series coming up in September. It's called Disciples Now and Always. And I want to encourage you to join me in praying for our church this fall as we go into this series. We're going to offer some each day throughout the series. You can get a Bible reading plan that'll take you through some additional scriptures throughout the whole time. We'll talk more about this later. But I'm praying for revival for our church this fall. I'm praying for a powerful move of God's Spirit as we remind and refresh ourselves that the thing we are above and before anything else is disciples of Jesus. Each afternoon on Sunday during this series, anyone who wants to come back at around 4:30 and bring your Bible, we'll go deeper for about an hour into whatever we covered that morning. Consider it some spiritual formation or some discipleship training. And I'm looking forward to just being able to spend some more time with all of you. I'm praying for revival. Now, this word revival, things that can be overrated, but being revived is sometimes exactly what we need, amen? Wake up is what we're being told in this parable. And revival isn't just about being emotional or enthusiastic. Really, it's about being awake and revived. It's about being and wanting to be spiritually full. So join me in that we can be brightly burning lamps, amen? Let's see how this parable wraps up. But while they were on the way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went in with him in the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Now, this is where it gets quite sober and serious, because here we have half of those bridesmaids who are now not in the party. They're not hanging out with the bridegroom. And we can find ourselves in this situation. If we're just hanging out, you know, we count ourselves among the wedding party, we go to church, we take the name Christian, but we're not wholehearted. We've not spent any time thinking about the fact that are we continuing to fill ourselves with God's Spirit? We're not all in. We did the Christian thing, but half-heartedly. He says, I don't know you. Jesus has said this elsewhere. There's another place where Jesus says, folks will say, hey, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? He says, man, I'm going to have to tell you, but I didn't know you. You were half-hearted. You weren't in it. You didn't really mean it. In Luke 6, he simply asks, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? They're saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. He says, I don't know what's going on. I don't know you. See, there will be religious people who are not known by the Lord, it says. This is a harsh truth, but it's in the Scriptures. There are people who say, Lord, Lord, but don't follow Him or follow through or have their hearts in it. The lesson is, let's not be one of those people. Amen? The parable ends by saying, therefore, keep watch, you don't know the day or the hour. See, no one knows that time when Jesus will return, but there will come a moment when this whole thing gets wrapped up. Knowing when is not really the point. In fact, that's a distraction and a waste of time. It might as well, the Scriptures continually teach, be today. It might as well be today. It might be today. Whether we're alive to meet Him at His return or we pass from earth into eternity, the lesson of the parable holds true. And it's one we need to remind ourselves of all the time. We are wise to proactively fill ourselves with the Spirit. Amen? Man, when He knocks, I want to be ready. I want my heart to be full of that oil. And so this morning, consider this the chime on your fuel meter, right? Your fuel sensor, letting us know where we are in our tank. And if you're empty or you're running low, today, instantly, immediately, and joyfully, God wants nothing more than to fill us up. Amen? Let's pray about that. Father, we thank You for this powerful Scripture. We pray, Lord, that each of us will take from it exactly what we need as You teach us what it means to be full of You and how important that is. God, we ask that You would help us to be the kind of people who seek You on our own because we love You, not just because other people do it or we just show up at church and then forget all about You. God, help us to be Your servants, full of Your Spirit. We look forward to Your coming one day. And in another sense, Lord, we also look forward to You being with us right now. We're happy that where we're gathered, You are also there. Fill us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.